Okay, we continue our study tonight. And the last Sunday evening, last week, we started a new series. And the title of the series is Christ Formed in Us. Christ Formed in Us. And the theme verse, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, where the goal of our instruction, purpose of the commandment, the goal of our instruction, is that I like that in translation into the English. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith that our Pastor Ron and I and the Sunday school teachers, etc., the goal of our teaching, the goal of our instruction through the Word of God is love, that we would love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, have an intimate, close, personal relationship with Him through Jesus Christ, and that we would love our neighbor as ourselves. And last week we pondered the conscience, the faculty within us. Think of Romans 2:15, where we each have a conscience that God gave us, this human ability, a human faculty or ability within each of us to discern right and wrong. It accuses us of wrong and it defends us of right according to the highest standard that it knows. And we know that sin sears the conscience and it's important to have our consciences cleansed through the blood of Christ. Confess sin, repent of sin, and then inform, make sure our conscience is informed by the Word of God as to really, truly what's right and what's wrong, because the conscience can be misinformed and think that what's evil is good, or to think that what is good is evil. And you can find that in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call good evil, and call evil good. How do they do that? Well, their consciences get misinformed, get off track and seared by sin like mud on a windshield. They don't see the curbs well on the road. And the great battle we have is primarily in the heart. Christ has been focusing on that in the Sermon on the Mount. He stressed that in Matthew chapter 23. First clean the inside of the cup. First clean the inside is what we need before making the outward appearance clean. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life, says Proverbs 4:23. As Jesus said in Matthew 7, every good tree bears good fruit. Every corrupt tree bears corrupt fruit. And the important thing is that our hearts, and that's what where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. Well, when you think about the main battle that we have, so if we think about sinful words or sinful actions, they all proceed from a sinful heart. It's the character of the person, the heart within us, that bears the fruit, the words or the actions, right? So when we see sinful words or sinful actions, something precedes it, and that's sin in the heart. There's some sin in the heart that has to be focused on. So too many times people will just, oh, I don't need to say that, or I don't need to do that. Well, that's true. But yet there's something even more fundamental to say, I've got sin here I've got to repent of, something inside me that needs to be cleansed. And you think of David in Psalm 51. He said, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. He knows what he needs. And that each person who is a man after God's own heart knows that it's the heart that God wants out of every one of us. So we'll be thinking through this study on various sins of the heart. Whether it's pride, lust, whether it's anxiety, whether it's covetousness, different sins of the heart, impatience. And then they come out with certain words and certain actions. And tonight we're looking at anxiety. We're looking at worry. And one of the books I'm drawing from for this series is John Piper's book, Future Grace. Living by the sanctifying power of faith and future grace. The idea there that he has on that title is the idea of promises that God has given us. That there's grace in the future that he has for each one of us. It's future grace. We know we're saved by grace. I'm being saved by grace, and I will be saved by grace. It's all of grace. God's grace gets the glory, but he's promised me grace in the future for me. Future for later today, this evening, future for tomorrow, future for eternity. So tonight we're thinking about worry. We're thinking about anxiety. And I don't know if you noticed in hymn 451 that we sang tonight, in the third verse, second line, it says, "Are you anxious what shall be tomorrow?" That's what we sang this evening. Are you anxious what will be tomorrow? And that's the pure definition of anxiety, means being distressed, concerned, anxious about future uncertainties, about tomorrow, things that are uncertain. What does it say? Tell it to Jesus, right? So whenever we have anxiety, whenever we have worry, whenever we have concern or distress about something that's coming up, something that's yet to be, that's worry, it's anxiety. So I've got a speech I've got to give, I've got a new job, or I've got an interview, I've got a new project, more birds are coming into the barn, you know, how am I going to handle this situation? Something broke down on the car. I've got a bill, I don't know, a medical bill, I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. You've got things, how am I going to deal with this thing in the future that's uncertain, right? We all deal with it, every one of us. Things that concern us, we're uncertain. Starting a new business adventure. There's uncertainties in the future. Well, much sin flows from anxiety. Three examples that I wrote on the board here. Just three examples. Anxiety about finances. Think of finances being money. Your finances, right? Paying bills, all that sort of thing. Anxiety about finances can lead to coveting, desiring what's not mine in a sinful way, stealing, taking what's not mine, what I have no right to. Could lead to Sabbath breaking, saying, you know, I don't know how I'm going to make my bills or pay certain things, so I better just skip going to church. I better work when I have a choice. Obviously, we know Christ has exceptions for taking care of animals, for instance, taking an animal out of a ditch that's stuck, you know, works of necessity, works of grace, mercy. But anxiety and worry about finances can lead to other sins. So I'm concerned how I'm going to get my next meal, so I'll just steal from Walmart when I walk in there and grab some food. See, you're worried about it, so I'll do something sinful to deal with that worry and try and satisfy that worry, you see. Anxiety about one's health can lead to selfishness, and the idea there is not loving others. I think Pastor Ron uses the phrase navel gazing, right? Where we look down our navel, our belly button, and it's the idea of looking down there and like my pain. See, I've got this pain, and I've got my pain here, and I've got pain in my throat, and I've got pain. You know, we've all been there, and it's on your mind all the time. Pain doesn't go away when you've got it. Even hard to sleep. So you can be self-centered, self-focused. When I'm worried about my health, it's one thing to have health issues, but it's another thing to have worry about it. Worry about it when I'm concerned and distressed, and that concern and distress consumes me, all I am is focused on myself. Follow? That's the idea here. And that's the idea of not loving others. Anxiety about how someone will respond to you. We're worried about, I don't know if I should say something because, you could be offended. May hurt your feelings. So, may lead to lies and deception. May tell a little white lie just so I don't hurt your feelings. I'm worried about how you'd respond if you really knew the truth. That anxiety, worry can lead to other sins. Because we know we need to tell the truth, right? We need to know, we know that we need to love others and not be selfish. We know that we should obey the Sabbath. We should not steal, but we should work to have something to give to others. We know we should not covet, right? But anxiety can lead to these other sins. The root of anxiety is a lack of faith in God's promises. Turn to Matthew 6, verse 30. We've covered this in the Sermon on the Mount, where this huge section on Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. It's this big section on do not worry that Christ deals with. The key phrase there at the is verse 30, and in particular the end of verse 30. So he starts that section in verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, right? Do not worry about your life. And then goes on in verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing, right? Don't worry about clothing. Well, what do we see here in verse 30? Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? O you of little faith? O you of little faith? The essence that's established there is God promises to take care of our basic needs with food and clothing, being represented by our basic needs, through his own actions of taking care of clothing the lilies of the field and feeding the little birds who don't plant and harvest and gather into barns, but your Heavenly Father feeds them. Why? So you're worth more than them. So the promise is that, look at the actions of your Heavenly Father. He's certainly going to take care of you. You're worth more than the little birds or the lilies of the field. That's his promise. We sang tonight, standing on the promises of God, right? We sang, the youth sang from the Black Songbook on taking up the shield and sword, right? Think of Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. What are we talking about there? Shield of faith. And the sword is the word of God. Faith in God's promises, his word, right? Standing on the promises of God. Right? The shield of faith that God gives us in our spiritual armor, that shield is the shield of faith. And the sword is the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we're standing by faith on God's promises, trusting him, right? That's the battle we have in our spiritual battle. So our spiritual battle against anxiety and worry, Christ is saying the same thing here in Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Well, ye of little faith, have faith in God's promises. Take up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Have faith in God's promises. The root of anxiety is a lack of faith in God's promises when we have little faith. We will worry. And again, we know then that that ultimately means a little view of who God is at that moment, right? A little view of who God is. If you have great faith, that means you have a great view of who God is and his abilities, right? Yeah. God is able to help us. We must ask for help. Look at Mark 9:24. So Christ said, "O ye of little faith." So what do we have here? The father of the child. Cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." And we're all in that boat. And again, this is something, in this whole study, we're all in our process of sanctification, having Christ formed in us, which is from Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. The goal is Christ would be formed in us, that we would be holy in all our conduct as he is holy in all that we are. And we have to ask for help. Help my unbelief. If I'm struggling with anxiety, Christ said, "O ye of little faith." Matthew 6, verse 30. If you have little faith, say, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Strengthen me to have a real, true vision of your majesty and greatness, your power, your goodness." The fight against anxiety can be won by trusting God. Look at 1 Timothy 6:12. First Timothy 6:12, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight, and we've got to trust God. Laying hold on eternal life, to which you are also called. Who called us? God called us. God called us with the same power that he called light to shine out of darkness. Now, we all have anxieties. Look at Psalm 56:3. Psalm 56:3 says, "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you." Some translations are, "Whenever I am anxious, I will trust in you." And so even the psalmist can be afraid and anxious, concerned about the future, uncertainties. And what? We're to fight the good fight of faith, trusting in God. It's personal, right? Trust in him, he who has made many promises to us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That's right. Not leaning on our own understanding, right? Trusting in the Lord. Turn to 1 Peter 5:7. I'll read verse 6 with it. So we see the principle in verse 5. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, verse 6, 1 Peter 5, 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. How do we humble ourselves? Casting all your care. Now some translations, I think the NASB has, casting all your anxieties. Things you care about and are concerned about. It's actually your anxieties, things you're concerned about, things you're distressed about, that you're afraid and anxious about. Cast all of them upon him. And that shows humility. And the reason is there is that for he cares for you. For he cares for you. You can put as a cross reference there, Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, as a cross reference with 1 Peter 5, 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You cast them on him, your anxieties. Be anxious for nothing. When they come to you, as the psalmist says, I trust in you, God. I trust in you. I cast it, what I'm afraid on and I'm anxious about, to you. In prayer. Why? For he cares. Right? Let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And this is dealing. Anxieties is an issue of the heart, inside of us, the character of who we are. Anxiety is sinful. It's a sin of the heart. And we need God to give us his peace, which surpasses all understanding of circumstances, to be able to guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Right? Now, this study, this series, is what is, you're in the realm of practical theology. Thinking about the knowledge of God and the practical application of it to our lives, right? So you ask the question and you say, okay, well, how do we fight the good fight of faith against anxiety? How do we fight the good fight of faith against anxiety? We can give an answer like this from Scripture. We strengthen our faith by meditating on God's promises in his word, in the Bible, and asking for the help of the Holy Spirit. Work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of Truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians 2:13, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit, by the work of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and belief in the truth, the word of truth, the word of God. So those two things combined. Because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, by the work of the Holy Spirit, and belief in the truth. The Holy Spirit always works in and with God's word. You know, you think of John 17:17 as a cross-reference there, where Jesus prayed, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. And that sanctification, we know, has occurred through the work of the Holy Spirit. But the word of God is central, and we must meditate on God's promises in his word and ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. And we've talked about it many times, but you think about Jesus in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And the devil came to him and with various lies, even quoting scripture out of context. And Christ's response always was, had the Holy Spirit came down to him in his baptism prior with the dove that came down, right? And he was driven out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. He had the Holy Spirit, and then he had the Word of God. And he wielded the sword, the Word of God. He had faith in God's Word. And he quoted from Deuteronomy three times. And you and I, it's the same with follow Christ's example. He leads in all things for us. So in Scripture, we're to be meditating on God's promises. Well, you read through Scripture and you have many of God's promises dealing with anxiety. Again, think of, well, ye have little faith. So we've got to have faith in God's promises. Think about, I'm going to write a bunch, we'll deal one at a time here, but we're going to list quite a few out. Things in Scripture, and we know in our own life and in our own experience where we get concerned and worried about things, right? How about anxious about food and clothing? Anxious about food and clothing. We talked about that already, Matthew 6:25 and following. Matthew 6:25-34. Philippians 4, 6 and 19. Turn to Philippians 4, So the idea is if you're anxious about food and clothing at any time in your life, at any time, and you have a Bible available, go read Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Meditate on it. Chew on it. Think about it. Pray for the help of the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Let me stand on your promises of what you've given here in your word about food, about clothing. Right? And you could also read Philippians 4, verse 6 and verse 19. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Go down to verse 19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's his promise, that he will supply all your need. Say, Lord, supply all my need. Food and clothing is a part of this, right? Supply it. Cry out for it. Say, Lord, you're faithful. You are true. This is your promise. So I stand in it. So give me your peace then. That surpasses all understanding. How about anxious about doing something new? Anxious about doing something new. Turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. We've all experienced this. I don't know if it's a new job, a new class, a new speech you have to give, doing something new you've never done before. Your heart rate gets up, your blood pressure increases, your breathing rate increases, yes. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's God's promise, right? And we've got to keep going back to it. Meditate on it. Wield it. It's the sword of the Spirit. You got the shield of faith. Wield the sword of the Spirit against the temptation of anxiety. The shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. Kill anxiety. How do you kill it? Faith in God's promises. Who God is. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So you're going to boot camp. Never been there before. Here's a verse to read and reread and reread and have memorized whenever you have any anxiety about it, worry, right? Anytime we're starting anything new. That's right. Yep. Thanks for remembering that. Yeah. Here's another one. Anxious about sharing God's word with others. Isaiah 55:11 is, now there are, in every one of these, there's other promises besides these, but It's a bare minimum. The idea is to read the Bible, and when you're reading it, think about all the promises there that can apply to different things. And here we're just thinking of examples of promises God's given us in His Word that deal with certain anxieties, certain worries we have. Well, here, how about the anxiety about sharing God's Word with others? Isaiah 55:11. God says, So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. There should be no worry or anxiety then about sharing God's word with others, because God has promised that it will not return void, empty. No, it's going to accomplish what He pleases and prosper in the thing for which He sends it. How about this? I'll say, the older I get, this is one that is a temptation. Anxious about being too weak. To get things done. Think of 2 Corinthians 12:9. 2 Corinthians 12:9. This is that context where Paul, the Apostle Paul, had that thorn in the flesh. And a messenger of Satan had buffeted him, or attacked him with. And he asked God 3 times that it would depart and leave. And God's response is this, 2 Corinthians 12:9, God said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." What's the promise from God there? That His grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in weakness. And that's what, you know, look at verse 10. "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, needs, persecutions, distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, and I'm strong." So if you think, "Oh, I'm so weak, I'm not feeling good today, I don't know if I can get everything done that I have to get done today," here's a promise to stand on. Shield of faith, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Have faith in God's promise that His grace is sufficient, that He will give you the strength that you need. How about anxious about future decisions? Psalm 32:8. Psalm 32:8. This is a big one. Life is filled with decisions. What job? If you get offered multiple jobs, where should I live? Who should I marry? Tons of decisions in which you could be anxious about. Psalm 32:8. This is God speaking. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Say, Lord, I'm struggling on my decision. I don't know what to make in these. I got multiple choices ahead of me here, and I don't know what choice to make, what decision to make. Instruct me, guide me. You've promised. Make it known to me in your providence or directly, somehow. Let me know what to do. You've promised. So I rested you. I'm call out the prayer of faith and pray it. Pray God's promises back to him. How about anxious? About facing opposition. Romans 8:31 is a verse one can go to, a promise of God. Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? So I'm concerned about opposition. Somebody's going to be resisting me on something. And I've been proclaiming the word of God. I was anxious about it. I know that God's word will not return void. It's going to achieve its purpose. Isaiah 55:11. Well, what if there's opposition? If God is for us, who can be against us? God's on my side. Not to worry about it, not to be anxious. How about and again, you think of Philippians 4:6, we're to be anxious about nothing. That's a command. Be anxious for nothing, about nothing. Even the psalmist, though, got anxious and afraid, but we're to take it then and cast it on God. So don't be anxious, right? How do we do that? We go to God's promises and have faith in God. How about anxious about the welfare of those I love? Anxious about the welfare of those I love. Matthew 7, verse 11, Mark 10, 29, and 30. Think of Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. Where Christ said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And you think of kindness and love and good gifts one has received from one's parents. And we know we are evil. And you think, well, how much more does my Heavenly Father love me? He's going to help take care of those I love. I think Mark 10, 29 and 30. That's God's promise. Mark 10, 29 and 30. So Jesus answered, "Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life." So we rest in Christ and his goodness, that it is gain and not loss, that he will protect, he will provide. How about anxious about being sick? Psalm 34, verse 19, Psalm 103, verse 3, Romans 5, 3 through 5. Sometimes we get worried about sickness. And obviously, there was a lot of that going on in the last year, dealing with coronavirus and COVID-19. Psalm 34, verse 19 says this. This is the promise of God. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." That's a promise. Now, his deliverance might be that I go to heaven. That's okay. Right? To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, be home with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Philippians 1:21. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. Right? It's far better. Philippians 1:23. So it's okay. I'm not to be afraid of sickness. Not to be worried or anxious about sickness. Even if that were to lead to death, his deliverance will come. That's the point here. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Think of Psalm 103, verse 3. Let me read verses 1 and 2 with it. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits," verse 3, "who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." Now, let me give you an example of something that's real subtle. I'm at the Mayo Clinic. Right, the very first doctor I see at the Mayo Clinic this last summer, dealing with all my health problems from COVID-19. Not a Christian, you could tell by the conversation. Very intelligent man. Doctor, a specialist in the gastrointestinal anatomy and system, and also has a PhD. And says, dealing with nerve damage in the human body, he says, "Oh, the human body is amazing, Ryan. It's just amazing how it heals itself. And therefore, I think it may be a year or two, but it will heal. The human body is amazing." And you say, there's no glory to God in that statement. Nothing. If God is the one who upholds all things by the word of his power, right? Colossians 1. For God upholds all things by the word of, he sustains everything by the word of his power. He holds everything together in the universe. And me together right now. So that if I am sick, I don't care. Think of every time you've been sick, every time you've had a wound and it heals, every time you've had a scab, I don't care what it is. It's attributable to God that it healed. Every time. Let me put it this way to you. I had another conversation with somebody that I know, a manager that used to work at Walmart. He comes by shopping at Walmart this week and had conversation about something, and there was an empty box on the shelf and his wife was there, and he says, "Hey, give it to Ryan. He's a man of integrity. Hand it to him. He'll take care of it." And I said, "By the grace of God, I am." And he says, "Well, however you are, it doesn't matter. However you got there." And I sitting there thinking, everything turns on that. Because it's whether or not you're glorifying God with whether or not you give him credit. Right? Isn't that what Paul in his life verse is saying in 1 Corinthians 15:10? "But by the grace of God I am what I am." If there's any integrity in me, and it's owing to the grace of God in his work, give him credit. And that's the same with healing our infirmities. If anything gets healed, it's by the grace of God and his work. So let's give him credit whenever it has happened. Now, it could be his will that I deal with something for the rest of my life. Okay, that's fine. That was his will then, that I endure, just as the Apostle Paul with the thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12, to keep him humble. His grace is sufficient, even if you're weak then. Okay, fine. But when I am healed, let's give God credit. Right? So we are to do, whether we eat, whether we drink, do all things to the glory of God. And we're to give him credit. But have faith in it then. To say, "Lord, I know you're able to heal me if you so choose, by miracle or by medicine." And then you deal with various promises, and you go back to and say, "Lord, if you're willing that I am not healed and have to deal with something for the rest of my life, some sickness, some disease, well, then we're in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, that God's grace is sufficient. His strength is perfected in weakness. Then I know I'm going to get through that too. Why? Because of the promises of God. I have faith in his promise. And he'll give me the grace that I need. How about anxious about getting old? Isaiah 46:4 is a promise that applies. God speaking here, "Even to your old age I am he, and even to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you." Great promise for old age. There's another promise. Yeah. How about being anxious about dying? Romans 14:7-9. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Philippians. We can be anxious about dying. Now again, I'll make a distinction here. There's a story of a Puritan that was going to have surgery, and a surgery that could be fatal. And the Puritan says, "Stop! I'm not afraid, anxious of dying. I'm afraid of pain." So there's a distinction there between, and there's a lot that says, "Lord, I'm ready to go home whenever you call me home. I'm ready to die. If it's today, that's fine, but please don't make it painful if you're willing." There's lots of ways of dying and that are very, very, very painful. Pastor Ron, there was an older gentleman that had been connected with the church many years ago, and he got caught in a fire, essentially burned most of his body, and ended up at the hospital here, and he died from all of the burns. A terrible, painful way to die. But to be absent from the body is to be home with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Look at Romans 14, 7 through 9. Romans 14, 7 through 9. "For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living." That's a promise. That whether we die, whether we live, I'm the Lord's. I'm a Christian. I'm his. Death won't separate that fact. Look at, there's another one that I didn't put on the board. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, die is gain. Verse 23, to die is far better. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 9 and 10. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 9 and 10. Another promise of God. Dealing with anxiety about death. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep," whether I am alive physically or dead physically, either way, "we should live together with him." Either way, whether I live or whether I die, I'm the Lord's. I live with him. Either way, I live together with him. Turn over one more, another cross-reference, John 11, verses 25 and 26. For those in our youth group from Friday night, we think of John Bunyan when we're dealing with Mr. Weak. This is a verse that hit me of what Bunyan may have been referring to as a possibility. John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. And that's same with 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 and 10. Either way, we live with Christ. I'm always alive with him. John 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? And I say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So I'm not anxious about death. I'm not worried and concerned about it. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Strengthen me by the Holy Spirit to truly trust and have faith in your promises of what you've stated in your word. How about this one? I'll end with this. Anxious about falling away from God. Anxious about falling away from God. Philippians 1:6, Hebrews 7:25, Romans 8:38-39. There are others. Could have put John 10:20-28-30. Right? Double security, right? We're in the hands of Christ and no one's going to snatch us out of his hands. We're also in the Father's hands and no one's going to snatch us out of his hands. For Christ and the Father are one. They're united in our security. Philippians 1:6, for I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Right? You think of Hebrews 7:25, therefore he, Christ, is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. These are promises. Say, you're always living to make intercession for me. I'm not going to be worried or anxious about falling away. You will perfect in me the work which you have begun. That's your promise. I'm not going to be worried or anxious about falling away. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ. You think of Romans 8. Romans 8:38-39, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He has set his love upon me, and nothing can separate me from him. Nothing. Now, we are to examine ourselves, 2 Corinthians 13:5, test ourselves to see whether we are of the faith, right? Whether Christ really is in us? Yeah, we're to look at ourselves in the mirror of Scripture, examine ourselves, and to ensure that, yes, we're following Christ on the narrow life of righteousness. But we're not to be anxious about falling away from God. By faith in his promises. How do we obey God? We're not to have sin in our heart, right? We're to be holy in all our conduct as he is holy, in all our ways. Not just actions or words, but also what's in our heart. So let me make this final statement. Let us make war with our own unbelief, asking the Holy Spirit for help, standing on the promises of God, fighting the good fight of faith against anxiety. Say it again. Let us make war with our own unbelief, asking the Holy Spirit for help, standing on the promises of God, fighting the good fight of faith against the sin of anxiety. Let us pray. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, you are heavenly. You created the universe. Nothing is too difficult for you. Lord, I pray that you would help our unbelief, that you would give us a greater vision of your peculiar glory in the pages of Scripture, of your greatness, your sovereignty, your goodness, your wisdom, your truthfulness, your faithfulness, that you always keep your promises and fulfill them. Lord, I pray that you would help us to take the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit in our battle against sin, to take up the whole armor of God, putting on each piece by prayer. Give us victory over anxiety, the sin within, while we worry and are concerned and distressed about future uncertainties. Help us to look to you. Help us to stand on your promises. So many things can make us anxious. Help us, dear Lord, to cast our anxieties upon you, for you care. To look to every one of these promises where you have provided a promised provision for us, grace to meet our needs. And Lord, I pray that we would look to you each day. Fight the good fight of faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, that we would be able to endure whatever is before us, that you would give us your peace which surpasses understanding, as we cast everything upon you with thanksgiving. Help us, we pray. And be with us now this week. As we serve you and live for you, may you be glorified in all that we think within us, all that's in our heart, all that we say and all that we do. May you be glorified and pleased. In Christ's precious name, we pray. Amen.